This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Back on a Monday. Hope everyone had a great Father's Day and a great weekend. We're ready to jump into another week of talking a little sports here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug, due to Jim Langan with you, the College World Series final is set. Nebraska is done with satellite camps. The U.S. Open, a crazy Sunday, and a crazy little finish yesterday, as you've been hearing about for the last 12 hours or so. And we've got the Women's World Cup continues tonight for the United States. The Royals, that was about as bad as I've seen them look in a long time yesterday. But again, it's one game. Some of the family members yesterday were just kind of up in arms. I'm going, well, hey, 2-1, 13-2, now a 9-game. Not the way you want to go into your road trip, but maybe that's what they were looking at. Seattle, Oakland, Houston, that's where the Royals will be over the next week and a half, and it starts tonight at 9:10. So they were ready to get on the plane, I guess, and get out of there. So all of that, Brian Munson of Rivals will join us in the second half of the show to talk about Nebraska's latest football commit, all the satellite camps from Florida to Texas to California. Got a chance to see the two quarterback commits have already given their verbal to the Huskers and see them work out, so we'll talk with him. Phil Stanton of College Baseball Insider is kind enough to join us again in our next segment here to preview Vanderbilt and Virginia, which is just surprising. Only the third time in history, Jimmy, that the same two teams met in the finals. And the other two times, the team that won it the first time won it the second time. So that points for Vanderbilt.
Is that right? We talked about that the team that got second maybe was going to be a little hungry and sitting in the background going, hey, you know what? Somebody else can be the favorite, but we're going to sneak up on you. And that's kind of what happened.
They found a way to take 2 of 3 from Florida, which didn't look possible. And, I mean, as good as some of these higher seeds, the ones, the twos, the UCLAs, the LSUs, the Floridas, as good as they looked, even TCU, none of them are here in the finals. You've got two teams that were not in the top eight in Vanderbilt and Virginia. And Vanderbilt looks like a little bit more solid team. They were at least a one in their region, hosted a regional, and then went up and beat Illinois. They haven't lost in a while. They've won them all in Omaha. They've won everything in the postseason here in the NCAA tournament. Virginia, they've had to bounce back a few times, and they scratched out the 5-4 win on a Saturday night. So it's Vanderbilt and Virginia. A lot of this comes down to pitching, and a lot of people believe that Vanderbilt will probably have the advantage going into the best of three. What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, I think the whole thing was decided in that game that got rained out. You know, if you're really honest about that, had a lot to do with how this whole thing played out. The rain could be a big difference maker in how Vanderbilt's success and the way that they can save pitching now. You know, because if their pitcher had to leave after 6 innings that day, you know, too. I mean, you know, they were behind, but both pitchers had to leave. You know, so I just think Vanderbilt's would be a heavy favorite in this.
Let me, in retrospect, for the folks that kind of forgot it with all the baseball, remember the rain delay came on Sunday night with Cal State Fullerton leading Vanderbilt 3-0. There's 2 outs in the bottom of the sixth. Vanderbilt's the home team, and they do have a runner on third. 3-2 count. Rain delay. So the kid has to wait till the next day. He knows the first pitch has to be money. Who's throwing it and who's hitting it? They get a hit, 3-1. They end up winning it in the bottom of the ninth on a home run. Totally different game. In retrospect, I heard this a lot, and maybe we'll bring it up to Phil Stanton, that the starter that Cal State Fullerton was using in that first game, who had the 131 strikeouts to 7 walks, why couldn't have he pitched the next day? Cal State Fullerton wins that game. Okay? I think if you're a Cal State Fullerton coach or someone close to the program, you had to know, okay, if you would have gotten by TCU the next day, then it sets up for you just like it did for Vanderbilt. If you don't get by TCU, it doesn't matter that you brought your boy back. You got to get so – he wasn't going to be able to go to at least till Friday. So if you brought him back, he could have went Saturday if they got into this second game. I wonder if Cal State Fullerton's thinking back going, we should have brought him. Because the whole thing was, we can't bring him back. We can't. Why? He pitched 5 2/3 of effective baseball. His pitch count wasn't high. I mean, it was like a long closer stint. It was like a middle reliever going 3 innings and throwing a few pitches. This is college baseball. This isn't a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old. This is a kid that definitely could have come out and thrown you 40, 50 more pitches, and that might have been enough to win the baseball game. Now, it was like so adamant. Well, we can't bring him back. He's not. That's what I heard. Can't. Well, why couldn't you? There's no rule that says you couldn't.
Well, you could.
It wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, I suppose you could bring him back. They kind of say for every pitch you throw, you need an hour. You know, for every pitch, if you throw 24 pitches, you can come back the next day. You know what I mean? If you throw 36 pitches, you'd need a day and a half. So, if you throw 60 pitches, you're following that. I don't have to do the math for you. Now, you have to decide, did Vanderbilt and Cal State Fullerton, if Cal State Fullerton possibly knew they were going to lose 4-3, they probably brought him back. But thinking, hey, did we come to maybe win this whole thing? Or did we come to, because if you bring him back, he's not going to be effective again the whole tournament. Even in the major leagues when the San Francisco Giants did their guy, they gave him this rest. He got rest, and then they came back and said, okay, now we're going to try him for about 30 pitches. But he could have never pitched again. I mean, Baumgartner would have. In the game 7, after they effectively threw him 3 more innings than he needed to throw, he could have never came back again. You just don't have that live fastball. You don't have, you can throw curveball, you can throw knuckleball, you can throw all that stuff. But for your fastball to be live, I don't think you can bring it back.
Well, maybe I'm dumb, but I don't understand what the difference would be if he threw 30 more pitches Sunday night or getting rest and comes back and throws 40 pitches the next day. That was a Sunday, Monday. He could easily went Saturday if they made it that far. Well, easily.
Well, what I'm trying to say, what you're talking about is, okay, being effective, you got 7 other guys that have rest on your team. You need to use those pitchers. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is if you ran a marathon and they stopped the race after 22 miles and then they go, okay, now you're going to come back and run the next 4. Well, you got somebody else that's fresh that's going to be able to run those last 4 miles better. Usually that would be the case because, after 22 miles of doing that. So
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But this guy was so much the better, like Baumgartner. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, we'll put it in Royals terms. Holland goes 3 straight days in the save. They're not going to pitch him no matter what the 4th day because he does need his rest. But let's say that puts together 90 pitches over 3 days. That wouldn't have been any different than this kid going 90 pitches over 2 days and then getting 5 days off. So, it's hypothetical. It's just one of those deals. When they said, he can't come back, I'm going, why couldn't he? He's your man. This isn't your number 3 guy where you bring in your 4 or 5 guy to finish it out. He's your number 1. He's an All-American. He's your guy. You went 2 in barbecue because he didn't finish. Don't blame the rain. That's part of the reason, because apparently then he would have finished. It's something I've thought about all week when we talk about the College World Series. It just seemed a little strange to me. And is it just, I guess, Jimmy, does it just come down to that baseball mentality? I mean, what they can say, the unwritten rules of baseball. I've been a coach for 30 years. That's just the way it is. That's kind of the argument I'm getting here on the other side from just a few times I heard about what they were talking last, like Monday and Tuesday.
Well, I just know my son is pitched a lot, and it not at that level, but at a decent level. And he would have wanted to come back, but he would not have been effective. His fastball would not have broke the same. It would have never got the move. We would have had better pitchers. It would have been smarter to bring somebody else back. I'm just telling you that. And I just know his arm, and then how many days it would take him to come back. And, you know, plus, he may never come back out of it. It could be sore, and that's what you don't want. You don't want these guys throwing pitches, and then they go, uh-oh, my arm from a 1 to a 10, the pain is an 8.5. Because you may never throw them again. You know, Grand Island was ahead of Lincoln Southeast the other day, 2-0. They have a player that kind of was, his pitch keys, his arm was bothering him, went in for some tests. And they said, okay, we're going to limit him to 50 pitches. Well, he threw his 50 pitches. They were up 2-0. They took him out, and they lost 5-2. But in, they're looking at the whole season. You know, and I understand what you're saying, too, is the fact that that game was so important for Cal State Fullerton to win, it might have been worth the risk to throw him. And what I'm telling you is if Cal State Fullerton knew that might have happened, they might have brought him back. But I still think Cal State Fullerton thought, hey, maybe we can win this whole thing, you know.
888-455-ESPN. That's the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776, if you'd like to be part of the program. You can always send us a tweet at ESPN 1460-1550. And, of course, you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Royals look like they cashed it in yesterday. Did you watch it at all?
No,
I didn't. It looked like, well, I'm going to stay with our guy as long as I can. Okay, it's so bad, I got to go get him. They look like, and you could have put anybody's name on the front of the uniform because it happens all the time, but it looked like the Royals fell behind 4-0 and then it immediately went 7-0. They should have just said, okay, that's it. They had all the backups in. It was a total throwaway game yesterday for the Kansas City Royals.
Well, they were lucky. The Royals were lucky to win 1 out of 3. You know, because they got outplayed pretty bad on Friday. You know, there's a time too where you rest players and you try to, like you said, this is a long haul. And when you're down 7-0 in that game, like you said, it was kind of one of them that they said, okay, if we come back, it's going to be with some other guys because we can kind of get a day and a half off here because it's a Sunday afternoon game. So travel, 3-9-game road trip, maybe a good time to rest some players.
No doubt about it, and it looked like it. They look like the Royals of old. We haven't been able to say that much because the Royals of old has always been the Royals of old, but now they're good enough we can say they look like the Royals of old.
Are you saying they're losing with 8 All-Stars?
No, they didn't, because they didn't play the All-Stars yesterday. They only played like 3 of them. UNK has completed, it looks like, their men's basketball coaching staff. Kevin Lofton officially announcing today that Devin Amy and Ken Moses will be on his bench. Moses has been the grad assistant the last 2 seasons, while Amy was also at Northwest Missouri State. Prior to coming to Kearney, Moses spent 3 years as an assistant coach at his alma mater, Colorado State Pueblo, which Coach Lofton would know quite a bit about. He also played for Pueblo 80 games during his career. He's actually from Honolulu, Hawaii. And Amy is a native of Independence, Missouri, was part of a Northwest Missouri program that won 49 games the last couple of winters. And before that, he was at Division II William Jewell College in Liberty. He was also a player at Central Missouri College, Upper Iowa, and Peru State. He was the captain of Peru State his senior season. So the Lopers getting their staff together under head coach Kevin Lofton. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk more about the College World Series and break down Virginia Vanderbilt with Phil Stanton of College Baseball Insider after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With 2 locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner Liskey McBride and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly sunny skies today, high temperatures near 88. Tonight, mainly clear, slight chance of thunderstorms late to low of 61. Chance for thunderstorms into Tuesday with a high of 78. Right now, 82.
Duncan Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where it's time to talk a little Husker football, even some Husker recruiting, brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems. Choosing the right recruit for Nebraska can be a difficult decision, but choosing your pivot system, well, T&L's like no other. They provide a safe, hassle-free, and reliable hydrostatically powered pivot for continuous movement and even water distribution. Find out how easy the choice is by contacting your nearest T&L dealer, and that would include Derek Wagner at Holdridge Wagner Irrigation, or go online to TLIRR.com. T&L systems are proven technology that works easier on you for a lifetime. T&L. Like no other. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday, and Brian Munson from Rivals joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He saw part of what was going on last week with the Big Red making their travels across the country. And good morning and happy Monday, Brian.
Hey, guy, how are you?
Great to, well, I'm doing okay. It's typical June, and I'm trying to grasp that we're about 5 weeks away from Big Ten media days, and then that's just basically when it all starts. So we'll have a little quiet time, maybe a couple more commits after all of this, but you were part of what was going on in Dallas and watching what was going on last week. Nebraska's got another commit, got a couple of them within the last week, but your overall thought on how the satellite camps went in all spots?
I think that they went tremendously well. From what I saw in Dallas, it was a very organized camp, number one. It's been kind of interesting. You know, I picked up on the reports both in Atlanta and Miami about how former players have been showing up and how the fans have been coming out. And it's been, you know, there's been a rejuvenation, I guess is what I would kind of call it when it comes to the Nebraska fans. You know, they wanted to kind of feel more in contact with the staff and get on board, and, you know, kind of still in that honeymoon period. And they've shown up, and former players or just the regular casual fan, and Mike Riley and his staff have been available. They've gone out there. They were talking to people right there in the stands on Thursday night at Highland Park High School, and it was really fun to watch them just kind of interact. And I had some great sidebar conversations with Mike Riley and other coaches. You know, Coach Stewart and Coach Kavanaugh, who's just had a great conversation with him as well. All in all, though, a complete success. You know, we've seen some offers come out of the Miami camp already. I'm not sure if we'll see any come out of Dallas yet. Now, there were some guys that turned some heads. But, you know, I've been kind of counting up just reports already. There could be as many as three to four, I think, that could come out in the following weeks from the Santa Monica camp. So I think it's been, all in all, it's been a very positive experience.
Brian, This is a Doug thing. This is probably a Doug thing, but I'm I've brought it up to some of the other analysts. I'm going to bring it up to you because I think it's a valid point, and you can agree or disagree with me because you've been covering the Huskers long enough now that you would remember this. I think I could go back 8 years and pull down Brian Munson, Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, Nate Klaus, you know, Tom Chattel, go on down the line. And the first 75% of what you just said was the exact same thing that was said when the Bo Pelini staff came on. And this is not a Bo comparison to Mike. My point is that when something new happens, this always seems to happen. They were fed up with Callahan, so you bring in a new staff. Everybody's happy. Right. All the players come out. We're shaking hands. Is that not a valid point?
I do believe that that is somewhat valid. I know that for some people, change is not always good. And I know that there was a purgatory of sorts that I've heard people kind of describe that the Nebraska program was in when it came to Bo Pelini. And I don't really necessarily have that opinion. I don't think necessarily that Nebraska was on completely on the right track, and Nebraska felt like we need to go out there and make some changes, and that's all fair. I will say this though, from a different perspective, there has not been a coach in the last 8 years that I would sit here and tell you that I liken to Tom Osborne as much as I liken Mike Riley to Tom Osborne. In fact, I felt that watching the video that Husker Online had put up on Tuesday or Wednesday of last week at the Miami camp, just listening to his words when he was getting interviewed by Sean Callahan, I felt like when I was watching him, I was like, those words were so sincere, I guess would be the word that I would kind of use to describe and to sum him up, that you really had this feeling that you were dealing with a guy that was much more like Tom Osborne than anybody else has been in the last, you know, two coaching hires anyway. And I think Nebraska fans have a lot more, and I know that this is like you said, though, I mean, taking into consideration what you just said, it may be lip service. It may just try to get people to kind of turn the page a little bit and be a little more open-minded. But I'll be honest with you guys. I really felt it by talking to him that night out there on the field on Thursday. I feel like this is a guy that really is going to have a chance now to kind of get himself acclimated to Lincoln. And I think that there should be some big things that come out of Lincoln with him as the head coach.
Yeah, my question to you is, when you were talking about these offers they're making, it seems like a lot of people have these satellite camps and they see somebody, they like them, they make an offer. You know, there's only so many scholarships, and there's only so much time you can have on the table. When they make these offers, are they telling these kids, hey, you got a week to tell us, you got 5 days, or is this offer good? I mean, if you're a great player, it's going to go on for a long time. But is there a timetable on any of these offers on these satellite camps that you know of?
No. And in fact, I think that any player understands that the shelf life is only as good as long as nobody else takes your spot in the class. I think some of these offers, you know, as they're extended, they probably are told, like, look, we're going to take two guys, or we're going to take three guys this position. We already have one. And they kind of let them know, like, what the status is. And I think that they really get understanding as well. Like, from talking to Noah Fant, you know, there was a real need to understand what was kind of going on at the defensive end position when he got the offer, because he wasn't going to commit right away. Even though he was an in-state player from Omaha South, there was a need to go out there and do some evaluation. And, you know, it's completely fair. It's his process, and he should go out there and make sure he's making the right decision. But what he wanted to understand was, like, look, at what point do I stand the risk of losing my spot? And it really wasn't coming down to a time frame necessarily. It was more about, we're going to take two guys, or we're going to take three guys, and these guys are the other guys that are out there, you know, that, you know, potentially these guys could jump in the class. And as soon as you see one of these guys fall, you know, then your time frame or your open window has, you know, you go from fully open to half open, you know, here, because this guy's already in the class. So I think that you can drive home some, you know, with saying, hey, we've got three guys with three spots, but we really want you to be one of those three. You can kind of drive that home a little bit and kind of show that the desire that's there, but there's not really a shelf life, so to speak, when it comes to the offer.
Talking with Brian Munson from Rivals and Husker Online here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The latest commit is a young man that was playing DN, but looks like he'll be an outside linebacker for Nebraska out of New Jersey, and Quayshon Alexander. We've heard his name. We heard his name from, I think, you earlier. So what's Nebraska getting here?
So I really like Quayshon. You know, he is being evaluated as a linebacker by Nebraska. He's playing a little bit more of a down defensive lineman, like you said, in his high school highlights, and that's fine. I see him truly more as like a hybrid guy that can play standing up as a walk up outside 3-4 linebacker, maybe more of a situational guy. He's got really good athleticism. He has good size, good speed. This is a guy that was on a number of different recruiting boards, you know, including teams like Michigan State, which have just, you know, when you think about their defense over the last couple, 3 years, the type of players that they've recruited, it's good that Nebraska and Michigan State are kind of lining up when it comes to recruiting the same players. And it's great when Nebraska can go out to New Jersey and grab a guy over Michigan State as well. It's a big get because Nebraska doesn't have a lot of players on the defensive side of the football, you know, in this class. It starts to show some identity with what they want to try to do with their defense. And I think all in all, he is a very quality prospect. I think he does start out that outside linebacker position. I think it really depends on where his body goes, to where he potentially could be with a more of a hand in the dirt kind of a defensive end. Or is he going to stay there at an outside linebacker spot? I think just time will tell, but there's a lot of potential there with Alexander.
Both of the quarterbacks in Wilson and O'Brien showed up. How much difference is there? I know you got to see Wilson up close. What we see from O'Brien being an Elite 11 quarterback sure looked neat from what they posted online here. A little bit about those two and the differences.
Well, Wilson is a thoroughbred. I mean, I walked into the field as he was taking his 40, and the whole crowd went, woo, and, you know, and they just couldn't believe when they saw him run. He was a 4.5, 3.40 guy that night. He threw the ball incredibly well. He has a quick release. He has the ability to have touch. He's really put together. You know, he's a legit 6'3", 6'3 and a half. You know, he's coming up on 200 pounds. Really reminds me a lot of RG3. I wanted to kind of not sit there and give him that label. I fought it off, you know, mentally, and in fact, but I think it's relevant. I think it's a totally valid comparison. And Patrick O'Brien, to me, this was a guy I think that the ratings still don't match where he needs to be. You know, I think he is one of those top 10 quarterbacks in the nation. He has every throw. He drives the football. He just does everything so well right now. He is such a polished quarterback. You know, and there's another guy there, a 2017 guy named Tristan Gebbia from Calabasas. Same high school as Markel Dismuke, another guy that Nebraska recently got to commit, but he's only going to be a junior. Gebbia, though, has visited Nebraska before in the past, and his film, which was posted on Husker Online actually yesterday or this morning, is terrific. I mean, you talk about a real strong-armed guy, really looks like another Patrick O'Brien type of player. So I think that Nebraska and their connections out there to California will pay off big, especially when it comes to the skill position guys. And Patrick O'Brien and Terry Wilson are two very fine quarterbacks for the Huskers to get in the 2016 class.
Brian Munson, wrapping things up here. Of course, you were in Dallas, so I assume you ran into the third greatest quarterback of all time, Jeff Quinn.
I didn't. You know, in
come
fact,
on,
I saw
man.
That picture. I saw him talking. I saw him speaking to Mike Riley, and then Mike Riley and I walked off. We started talking about evaluating players down here in Texas and how losing out in Houston, you know, with the whole tropical storm was going to be a big deal. And he said, yeah, that he wanted to sell, you know, that the fact that the two best players in his time at Oregon State were from Houston with the Rogers brothers. And we started talking about Jacquez, but I missed talking to Jeff Quinn. In fact, I didn't even know who it was at the time. So, yeah, I apologize about that. Supposedly Ed Stewart was also there in Dallas that night, but I didn't see him either. So my apologies there if I offended anybody for not seeing Jeff Quinn.
Third greatest, by the way, Jimmy. Third greatest.
I got a question for you. I'm in the minority on this. I know I am. because I've talked to people, but I think outside of Nebraska, outside of the state of Nebraska, I feel like when I talk to people from other states, they knew how important Ameer Abdullah was to the University of Nebraska and the offense and how it opened up the passing game. It opened up things for our quarterback. People had to key on this guy to stop the Huskers. So they didn't key on him. He was going to have a tremendous game. How much are we going to miss him? And is it possible that we can replace him?
Oh, he will be so missed. And you're right. Where he's at from a percentage of the offense, you know, from a production standpoint is one thing. Where he was at when it came to defenses needing to account for him every single time, whether he was part of the play or he wasn't, you know, is something that doesn't go, you can't find any stat. You can't see that anywhere. Whether he was picking up a block or it was a decoy or was out in the route and was pulling a guy out with him, you know, on a pass coverage, you just can't ever understand the value there. He will be tremendously missed. I think that the on-the-field performance by him is going to be tough to replace, but I think the one part that is obviously a bigger hole to me is the leadership. His leadership ability is something that somebody's going to have to step up and take over when it comes to getting in that huddle and being that next guy. That's the part I think I still have questions about. I think Nebraska has a lot of young legs in the stable at running back. Do they have, though, the leadership and the charisma of a guy of Ameer Abdullah? I'm just not 100% sure. I think most of that comes with just the amount of experience that Ameer Abdullah had coming into last season and where he had been. And, you know, and just I don't know if Nebraska has that right now. And that's going to be very interesting to watch as the season goes on. But I think Nebraska has a bunch of very capable running backs back there.
And the last question here for Brian Munson. Well, let's say this is the next to last question because I want to ask you, did you take Sean and the boys out while they were in Dallas? Did you go any place special?
I missed them for lunch. I missed them for everything. We sat around and did a podcast in the hotel, and then they went one way after the camp, and I went the other because they were staying on one side of the Metroplex, and I live on the other. So I went out with them in St. Louis, you know, at the beginning of May, and I've known those guys for an incredibly long time, so it's great getting back to work with them. It really has been a homecoming of sorts.
And then the official last question, as if folks want to go on to Husker Online, as you always do, and read everything that's up there, Sean mentioned that there wasn't a lot from an offensive line standpoint at any of the satellite camps. You mentioned a couple of things, including the cancellation to Houston because of the weather, maybe some guys that didn't show up Nebraska was hoping for, just a nugget or two that probably didn't work out as well last week.
So specifically, I'll bring up the name Gary Overshone. Gary Overshone is a name that recruiting fans don't know a lot about, and that's not just Nebraska. That's just in general. However, he was a defensive end at Mesquite Horn who was supposed to be in camp on Thursday night. Came in at 6'5" and ran a 4.52 at the TCU combine and was immediately offered by TCU. This would have been a guy I think that really would have stood out there at the camp because the best defensive lineman that was there on Thursday night was a 2018 sophomore. So he would have been very easy for him to stand out. There was a quarterback also, his friend, 2017 guy who had about 10 offers already. It would have been very fun to see him at camp. Mike Juarez, the top linebacker in the nation, was supposed to be there at the Santa Monica camp and never showed up. They were just, you know, and we're kind of splitting hairs here, though, guys. I mean, I think from an all-out perspective, the camps have to be ruled a success. There hasn't been any commitments as a result of them, but there was such a great turnout, I think, particularly in Miami, which is a great sign. And getting a chance to get back into Houston next year, I think things are really going in a positive direction for Mike Riley and his staff when it comes to recruiting in these particular locations again going forward.
His head is large enough to hold all this knowledge in it. It is Brian Munson joining us from the great state of Texas. And, Brian, thanks as always for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. And enjoy a little breather here before the actual season gets started in just a little over a month.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Brian Munson from Rivals Husker Online. Great to have him with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So it sounds like a lot of work. It sounds like they put in a lot of work last week, and I think they'll probably reap the benefits of this. I don't think it's going to shatter the SEC like they're so worried about down there in SEC land. Why are we letting these guys go? There's something else, I guess, for the kids to do in the summer.
Well, you know, you go to a lot of basketball camps in the summertime, and you'll see the head coach on the introduction, and you won't see him the rest of the week.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like Mike Riley, I'll take my hats off to him on this deal. He's not lazy. The guy puts in a lot of hours, and he's seen out in the public.
That's a little Husker recruiting update brought to you by TNL Irrigation, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. We'll switch it over to college baseball, the College World Series final. Phil Stanton from College Baseball Insider will join us from Omaha after this.
Now's the time to start training for the Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 50 and up will have the chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities, including track and field, golf, basketball, bowling, swimming, tennis, and many more. This year's games will be held August 6th through the 9th in Kearney. For registration and more information, go to NebraskaSeniorGames.com. Registrations are due July 17th. The 2015 Nebraska Senior Games, where competition never gets old. Get in the games at NebraskaSeniorGames.com.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Super Shine Auto Care. We clean the out of your car. It's our 30th anniversary. We've brought back our unlimited wash. For $19.95 a month, you can keep your car super clean with our soft cloth auto wash. We hand scrub the bugs and hand dry your vehicle for that finished touch. Not only that, but you can use our vacuums for free when you wash your vehicle. Also try our auto detailing and Mobile One Lube Express. Look for us online at supershineautocare.com.
Prairie Hills Golf Course, located just 10 short miles north of Kearney on Highway 10, is under new management. Prairie Hills Golf Course is a beautiful course nestled on 132 acres of rolling hills that makes for a fun and challenging golf experience, and they have the lowest 18-hole rates in the area. Call to reserve your tee time now or call to ask about their upcoming leagues. Just call Justin at 308-388-5115 at Prairie Hills Golf Course. That's 308-388-5115.
Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. He climbed
the Duncan Eddie's Show, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. We're in June at Midway. You get 0% APR for 5 years with approved credit on the likes of GMC Sierra 1500 SLT. Plus, you'll receive a $2,000 cash allowance. You'll also get the same deal on a 2015 GMC Acadia with $2,250 purchase bonus cash with qualified credit. Stop into your Midway Auto dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or see their full inventory online and many more great deals. If you're not in the market for a newer pre-owned vehicle, if you've already bought from Midway but you need the oil change, you need some tires rotated, you need some work done on your car, you can probably get some good advice at thinkmidway.com. Like them on Facebook as well. Your Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Well, for just the third time in College World Series history, the same two teams are playing in the finals in back-to-back years, and of course now it's a best of three, and this has happened a couple of times in this current format. We welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show Phil Stanton from College Baseball Insider, who's killing time in Omaha waiting for some more baseball. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing good. The home stretch is here, and we had a chance to talk with Vanderbilt folks, and we had a chance to talk with Virginia folks before the College World Series. It's a long haul when you make the finals, and this is the second straight year that it's been a long haul. How are the players handling it, and are the fans from those two institutions able to hang around all this time?
I think the majority of them are. I think a lot of them, and one thing that helps is these are two teams that were here a year ago, so they know what the routine is, and I think that helps a lot with the players in that they can know, okay, we played today, we've got an off day tomorrow before we play again the following day. So I think you get into that routine because that's very different than what they're used to during the year. They're used to having one or two midweek games and then playing consecutive games Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So having the additional days off is really a change. I think for the fans, I think, you know, there's enough things to do in the area that I think they find out, you know, where the golf courses are. They get there to the zoo. There's a lot of things for them to do. So I think, you know, those who came out. Now, Virginia fans, they may not have felt like it was going to be a whole two-week excursion for them. You know, I think the Vanderbilt fans probably were pretty confident that they were going to have a good shot of making it to the championship series, but there may have been some Virginia fans that had to go out and buy some new clothes.
Find the local laundromat keep it going. Phil, how would you say the atmosphere differs, because it is a Monday, Tuesday, and we've been through this long enough, but just now the fifth year going into TD Ameritrade, how is the atmosphere different for this best of three final as opposed to the first 10 days of the College World Series?
In a way, I think it's more like a business-like approach because here's, you know, you're finally down to the two teams. I think as the as you go through bracket play, there's so much looking at the brackets. Well, what does this team need to do? If you're working out of the loser's bracket, when do we play again? Who do we play? So I think there's a whole lot of you're kind of scoreboard watching to see what everybody else is doing. I think when you get to the championship series, you know, you're zeroed in. Okay, here's the final two teams, and I think it's a more serious approach. And, you know, and I think, too, knowing that, you know, one of these two teams now is just two wins away from a national championship. So I think it's a more serious atmosphere once you get to that championship series.
You know, the two teams that are left, you know, do you think that the one reason they're there is their defense and the way they take away hits? You know, it seems like there's fly balls that go into the outfield, and some teams will drop in for a base hit, and the next thing you know, somebody from these two teams seems to run it down, or their shortstop makes great plays. Talk a little bit about the defense, or if you think it's something else, why they're winning.
Well, I think that's a big part of it. I think when you look at teams being built primarily by pitching, and really with these two programs, in looking at Tim Corbin's been at Vanderbilt 13 years, Brian O'Connor at Virginia for 12 years, they've both built their programs primarily with pitching and along. I mean, for that pitching to be effective, you have to have that solid defense behind. And it really is the outfield defense as well as the infield. I mean, the guys on the infield, especially on the left side, you know, they've got to be able to make all the plays. Your first baseman has to, you know, scoop some balls over there that might normally get through. And then the outfielders, you know, especially you think in center field, being able to cut balls off in the gap. Both these teams are built with defense in mind to go along with that solid pitching. So, you know, I think that's going to be a big factor. And I mean, you hate to think of it, but it may come down to somebody making a mistake in the field, being able to open the door for one of the teams to end up having a big inning. Because I think it's going to be tough for either of them to have to put together real big innings. And when you look at the games that both had through bracket play, they didn't have real big innings themselves, but their opponents didn't have real big innings. I think that was one big thing for Virginia, getting the two wins against Florida, is just keeping the Gators from having big innings in those two games. So I think the defense is a real, real big key key with that.
Talk with Phil Stanton, College Baseball Insider, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug, due to Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Our pregame tonight is at 6:40. First pitch right around 7:05. Vanderbilt and Virginia. It would seem Vanderbilt is in a much more comfortable spot with their pitching, and they'll be able to trot out three studs. Virginia looks like a pinball machine or a Powerball bowl in there. They're just trying to find somebody that can give them some distance. So if things get a little hairy tonight, does O'Connor just stick with his man and take their lumps?
Well, I think he'll try to get Jones to go as far as he can. And I think that is a good point, knowing that there still could potentially be two more games. He had said part of the reason he didn't throw, I really thought he might throw Jones on Friday against Florida, but he said they had determined before they came out that Jones was only going to throw twice out here, out in Omaha. So, you know, I think now since he's had plenty of rest, he threw a week ago Saturday, so he's had 9 days since his last start. So I think they'll try to go as deep as they can with him. One thing that'll be real interesting to see is if, say, he's able to get them through seven innings with a lead, they're going to want to bring Josh Spores back with him having thrown four innings this past Saturday. Is he going to be able to bounce back that quickly, or will they have to go with one of the younger arms in the bullpen? So I think that's, you know, that could be a key. You know, they'll want to get as far as they can with Jones, but then I think kind of keeping an eye on the bullpen as to, you know, who the first guy up is going to be.
Is the Nathan Kirby experiment done? Will we see him this week?
I think there's a possibility that he might start again either Tuesday or Wednesday. Part of that will be how he bounces back with Friday having been the first time that he's thrown in a couple months. They'll kind of look and see, you know, how he's doing. I'm sure they checked with him Saturday, yesterday. They'll see how he is today. If they're going to use him at all, you know, I think they'll want to use him as a starter just to go ahead and give him his pregame routine as it normally is, and then just to see how far he could go. You know, could they get three innings out of him, four innings out of him? I thought it was interesting. He was pretty solid the first time through the lineup against Florida, but then the second time that they saw him, they zeroed in on him pretty good. So it might be that they'll look just to try to get him one time through the lineup against Vanderbilt, either on Tuesday or Wednesday. But it wouldn't surprise me if they used him against Florida. It wouldn't surprise me that they try to get one more start out of him.
You know, Phil, there's a – to me, I talked about, I think, the last time you were on, that, you know, so you get second place in the College World Series, and you've got something you're thinking about for 365 days, and you watch somebody celebrate in front of you, do you think it's possible that they are using this right now and they will play small ball? They're going to find a way to get a run. They're going to bunt. They're even going to give up some outs. Virginia will say, hey, you know what? We got a runner on first. We're going to get him to second. We're going to have two swings and try to get him over there. I think they're going to give a lot of outs up, willing to do that to try to win one-run games, where I think Vanderbilt won't be happy at playing the same way. They're going to try to win 3-4-0, something like that, where Virginia just goes in there thinking, hey, one run, and we've got to find a way to score. Your thoughts?
Oh, I agree, Ken. I think that was kind of the approach that they had when they were playing against Florida, because I think probably everybody in the Virginia camp would admit that Florida was a more talented team than Virginia this year. And, you know, on paper, it looks like Vanderbilt is definitely the stronger team than Virginia. So I think it was key against Florida that they had that mentality. Now, the first game that they played, the 1-0, it turned out that one run was enough. The Friday game, Florida was able to come up with a couple big innings and win that one comfortably. But then coming back Saturday, I thought it was impressive. I didn't think Virginia was going to be able to score in four different innings against Florida, but I think they kind of had that same mentality where we're going to look to get a run here, look to get a run there. I, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see almost anybody in their lineup you know, putting down a bunt just to try to get a guy into scoring position. And thinking, too, a lot of the hits that they had against Florida on Saturday, you know, were not balls that were crushed. Thinking of the double that Towns had, that was just kind of a blooper that fell down inside the left field line. So I think you're exactly right. I think they're going to try to manufacture as much as they can, and if it ends up being a 2-1 or a 3-2, you know, they're going to be fine with that.
I think everybody would agree. You mentioned Towns. There's so many other great kids that we've been able to watch here. Draft picks, of course, and Dansby Swanson and some of the pitchers. This has been such a much more enjoyable College World Series to watch. So, Phil, when they hand out the trophy Tuesday or Wednesday, who's going to be dogpiling?
Well, I would sure think that Vanderbilt is going to be there again. You think they really have the advantage in every category. They've got their – I think the biggest thing is they have their starting pitching exactly where they want it, knowing that they're going to have Fulmer go today, they'll have Pfeiffer go tomorrow, and then if they need to, they'll come back with Buehler on Wednesday. So I think that's the advantage that they have, although – I've been counting Virginia out almost every step of the way. So I'm figuring that Virginia's going to find a way to get one game. So I would say by the time we get to Wednesday, I think it's going to be Virginia or Vanderbilt pulling out that third game of the series.
Just a couple more quick questions here for Phil Stanton, College Baseball Insider. Do you get Is the fans from Omaha, are they pulling for Virginia because of Coach O'Connor, or is there a favorite between these two?
I would think that, you know, most of them just want to come out and see good games, but I think there is that faction that does pull for Virginia because of Brian O'Connor. I mean, it is such a great story for him, you know, having grown up right across the river in Council Bluffs, having played at Creighton and been on the team that got to the College World Series. So probably some of the older fans, and then too, you think some of the younger fans have you know, read the stories with Virginia having made as many trips to Omaha as they have, that gets mentioned every year. So, and too, in thinking that with this being a rematch, you could think, a lot of people would think, well, Vanderbilt won their championship last year, it'd be nice to see somebody else get one. So I think there's probably will be a little more sentiment for Virginia.
And Phil, we know how it is. Every college season that ends, because there are top 25 rankings, the very next day, there's the way too early preseason top 25. And the way Vanderbilt ended, they were a lot of people's preseason number one. Of course, there's more baseball polls than for the football, basketball, volleyball, whatever you want to go into. Baseball and wrestling, I think, have about 30 polls. But Phil, if you said, even if it's just out of these eight, but who's probably going to start off on top next year just from the talent that they'll have returning?
I think it's going to be Florida. I think that the younger players that they had, you know, with the experience that they got through the postseason, I think they're going to be up there. I think LSU will be pretty high up there as well. And so I think those are going to be two teams that are going to be really hungry for being able to try to come back for those players that they do have returning. I think those are going to be two teams. You know, again, a couple SEC teams, which they seem to be the strongest year in and year out. But I think those will be two that will be really, really high in the preseason polls.
Phil, I agree with you totally. And, you know, the only other thing I'm looking at is, you know, UCLA got beat early. You know, they might be really hungry. I don't know exactly what they have coming back, but I have those two exactly. And Florida, I think, real heavy favorite to be the number one ranked team in the nation.
Yeah, I think, you know, with you know, just that combination of those younger players being able to experience what they did. And I'm sure a lot of them were, you know, beating lockers after the game on Saturday, feeling like, you know, they were the better team, and just for whatever reason weren't able to get that done. So I think that'll be really good motivation for them going into next year. And they were a team, too, that they had some really puzzling losses during the regular season, and I don't know if it was just lack of concentration or what happened, but I think they're going to be more focused going into next year, that they're going to, you know, even do better during the regular season, you know, with the chance of them being you know, even a higher national seed, possibly being the number one overall seed.
Check it out, collegebaseballinsider.com. Lots of information there during and when the season is not going on. Some good stuff there as well. Phil Stanton joining us here. Did you get everything checked off your Omaha list, Phil?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. It was, and it, you know, there's always so much stuff you don't get to, but definitely the ones on the top of the list got checked.
Phil, thanks so much for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and let's do it again next season.
All right, that sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Enjoy the finals. Phil Stanton, great knowledge, great insight. What's going on tonight? If you just read the scouting reports, all of a sudden Vanderbilt now, who didn't come in as the national seed, had been number one for a while, had a few things happen, and now all of a sudden, when you think about this, I'm just going, man, I can't believe how things worked out for some of these teams. Virginia to be where they're at. They were fortunate that Maryland took care of UCLA. And then, let's face it, Maryland was ahead of them late in both games in the Super Regional. We talked about it at the start of the College World Series. And then, conversely, you look at Vanderbilt, and as you brought up, if that rain doesn't come, they might be 2-2 and home playing LSU in the elimination game. Interesting, the world of sports. Folks, let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, who are you taking, by the way?
In what's it?
Virginia or Vanderbilt?
You know, I'm going to take Virginia. I mean, just because of the, you know.
Everybody's taking Vanderbilt.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you can, you know, that the games will be closer than you think. Virginia doesn't give up much. I mean, their defense is pretty good, and I don't know if Vanderbilt really hits the ball and scores that many runs. They did, you know, against Cal State Fullerton that was impressive. But, you know, I just don't see them winning 9-0, you know, 7-0. If you get down to a game and it's 2-2, and you know somebody else is 2-1, the other team's 1-2, I'll take the 2-1 shot.
Well, and it's, I agreed with your point earlier where it doesn't matter. Everybody wants to win, but Vanderbilt tasted it last year. Virginia, the cookie was there, and they took it away. They didn't get any of it. To be that close, there has to be just that little bit more desire in your gut. That's just the way human nature is. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you over the weekend when there was four teams remaining who had the best chance to win it all. 50% went with Vanderbilt. We ask you today, will Jordan Spieth become the first player to win the calendar year Grand Slam? Yes or no? The easy answer is no. It's just too stacked against him. It's amazing what he did, but vote now, ESPNSuperstation.com. I think what would be cool is if he did win the British Open.
Oh,
we always love hoopla, don't we?
That would be exciting to have a Grand Slam winner, Triple Crown winner, both in the same year. You'd have to remember this. 2015 would go as a year with those two things, wouldn't it? Triple Crown winner and a Grand Slam winner. Is there anything else that could happen? How about San Francisco? It's kind of the same calendar year. They win the World Series.
There's a lot of
Golden
stuff
State wins
happen.
The NBA, and I don't think the 49ers.
Well, Oakland.
Yeah.
Oh, there's you're talking San Francisco, Oakland. I mean, you could go with anything from California.
Yeah, just whole state.
Chargers.
Anything on the state. Yeah.
You know? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll be back. Got a couple other nuggets, and we'll wrap it up after this.
I call Kearney Crete and Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Hey, Nebraska, are you ready to save big on your next set of tires? Then get to Big O Tires now during our huge buy three tires and get the fourth free sale. You'll save 25% on all Cooper, Nitto, and Sumitomo tires to fit all passenger cars, crossovers, pickups, and SUVs. There's no forms to fill out or rebates to wait for, just an immediate savings of 25% when you buy three tires and get the fourth free only at Big O Tires, the team you trust.
The College World Series Finals begin tonight on ESPN Radio. A rematch of last year. Vanderbilt and Virginia. Pregame at 6:40. First pitch at 7:05. The best of three. Virginia-Vanderbilt tonight at 7:05 on ESPN Radio.
The Gibbon Tractor Pull Association will be hosting the Outlaw Truck and Tractor Pullers and the Nebraska Truck and Tractor Pullers on July 4th and the Custer County Mud Draggers on July 5th. It's west of Gibbon at the Aurora Co-op facility. Gates open at 11, with the first pull starting at 1. Stay all day or come and go as you please. Concessions provided by JA Custom Cooking. Coolers and lawn chairs welcome. For more information, go to GibbonTractorPull.com.
Real barbecue. That starts with thick, tender, juicy meat smoked to perfection and combined with a perfect side of baked beans or slaw. Dickey's Barbecue Pit knows you have to stick with what you are good at to do it better than anyone else. With signature meats, homestyle sides, and tangy barbecue sauce, they stuck to their Texas roots and brought great barbecue right here to Kearney and Grand Island. So get some lip-smacking, rib-tickling, knee-slapping barbecue only from Dickey's.
It's not just a game anymore.
Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation.
The talk is one thing. The question is whether you can back it up.
KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
This is one of those rookie things, right?
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Plenty of baseball over the weekend. The Kearney and Grand Island seniors both had a perfect weekend. Hastings went 2-2. The juniors from Hastings swept Beatrice. They've got a 21-7 record, post 52. They did get beat yesterday, but had a competitive weekend. And Kearney Runza and post 52 will have their fan appreciation night coming up this Wednesday. Of course, bring in Grand Island. Fan appreciation, Jimmy. Will you be personally serving the ice cream?
No, I'll try to announce that day. Hey, Doug, I think Grand Island got beat Friday in the seniors by Lincoln Southeast, and I think post 52 lost in 17 innings yesterday. 17 innings. That's what my son told me. Maybe he was lying to me, but he told me we have to get some. Maybe that's, but they lost. I think they lost 3-2 in 17 innings. Do you think maybe the tournament they had to hold up the second game, it didn't start on time?
Well,
you have to look that up. I haven't got that verified from anybody. But
I would think that would kind of mess things up a little bit.
But we're all looking it up now here.
Yeah.
Right now, breaking news, Pete Rose is betting on baseball while still playing. Breaking news by ESPN.
Well, I just wanted to give the fan appreciation night. It's coming up Wednesday night, free admission. Everyone receives a ticket for door prize that'll be given away, burgers and dogs, homemade ice cream. It's all part of fan appreciation night on Wednesday. Yes, back to that. Why would they be looking into Pete Rose? Because he wants to be reinstated again?
Yeah, what was that all about?
Somebody hates him. Yeah, somebody just doesn't like him.
Breaking news.
They're saying he was betting on baseball while he was playing. All this other stuff apparently was from the managerial times.
I don't know.
At this point, does it matter?
No.
When it comes down to the Hall of Fame, they're either going to put him in or they're not. And they're not. They're not doing it now, so they're just trying to keep him out even longer. And I suppose if this happens, Pete's going to pass away before he's in the Hall of Fame. And that's too bad. And what he's done is too bad as well. But, again, I'm on the side Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. Other people cheated. It is now, of course, I guess if this comes out and shows that he fixed games, I can't imagine that would be ever found. But we'll see. They need something to talk about, so, come on. Here's another thing. ESPN, they sat on this until today. They just found this out. Something to talk about with you and your friends over lunch at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. May Madness extended into June because it's hot and you love a little light lunch. You might love one of their salads, taco salads, chicken salads. There's a variety of different salads that you can have. And throughout the month of June, only $5.55. You want the grilled chicken, you want the hot sauce on it, you want some of their sweet and tangy sauce on it, mango habanero, the newest sauce. Doesn't matter. They'll make it for you. Taco salads, $5.55. Lunch, dinner, somewhere in between, $5.55. Long as the kitchen is open, you can enjoy any of the delicious salads on the menu at the Chicken Coop for $5.55 during the month of June. The Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds, downtown Kearney. Don't forget, every Monday night, Coop Koozie Night. You buy your $5 koozie, you put 12-ounce cold cans in there throughout the evening for only $1 while you sit back and watch the College World Series Major League Baseball. With the Royals starting late tonight, you might be up to one.
Oh, easily. especially if it's close. It's a close game. I don't know if I want to watch another 12-1 final.
Well, Felix Hernandez is on the mound tonight, Jimmy.
Yeah, but if we need to find a way to score.
That's probably bad news for the Royals. Let me get this for you here real quick.
What are you going to look at?
What do you think the Royals? Isn't that just the way it is? Anytime you want to look something up real quick, computer, smartphone, it takes 25 minutes for it to pull it up. What do you think the Royals are? They have to be the underdog today, right?
Oh, no doubt about that. That's an
Well, -151 Seattle.
Is that you have?
Yeah, so there you go. Folks, we got A-Rod hit his 3,000th over the weekend. I think it's a big deal, plus it's a home run, just like Derek Jeter did. Is it a big deal, Jimmy?
I think so. What do you think? I think it is. Heck yes.
The U.S. Open. Let's kind of... Oh, a couple other things before we get to that. Cool article today in the World Herald about Christine Bogey. Used to work at NTV, now with the ESPN crew. It talks about coming out of a high school in Fremont in Nebraska, working on the crew, working the grounds crew at the College World Series, then getting into her broadcasting career, now a part of the staff at ESPN. So check that out. Piv wrote up a nice article on Christine, who spent some time here at NTV. What do you think about the Scherzer no-hitter? I think what happened was we watched all this College World Series stuff for Nebraska standpoint, and the umpire, there was at least a couple of occasions when a guy got hit in the batter's box and he said, no, you don't get your base, you're staying here, you leaned into it. Major League Baseball, he didn't get out of the way, cost him the perfect game. I guess it's just something in the history books. It's still a no-hitter.
Yeah, it's... You know, you don't want. I mean, everybody's cheering for the perfect game, right? I mean, anybody's except for the kid batting and maybe his teammates. But you know, hey, it seems like the last couple perfect games we've had, the guys felt like they got robbed on them. You know, the pitcher for the White Sox, help me out with this. I can't think of his name right now, Galarraga or whatever. Yeah. He went like 8-16 the next year. You know, but yeah, he missed his, and so that's. That's amazing. Vanderbilt is a 31-10 favorite today, -310.
Whoa.
Since we're talking about
Holy cow. Yeah. That is huge. That is massive for a national championship.
31-10.
Wow. East, kind of like the Shrine game, one team got hot, the other team got hot later. The East scored the last 36 points in a 36-15 win over the West in the Sertoma 8-Man All-Star Classic. The Shrine game had Connor Young break the single All-Star game record in receiving yards. They broke it in the 8-Man game as well with Chris Konacek of Clarkson Lee, 150 yards receiving, three touchdowns from three different quarterbacks as he was named the offensive MVP, Simon Sandberg of Friend, the defensive MVP for the West offense, Alex Coons of Stewart, defense, Colt Foster of Hemingford. And the U.S. Open, we didn't talk much here on the show. It's a national story. Love golf. There were a ton of missed three putts. You should feel as bad for Brendan Grace as you do Dustin Johnson for hitting it out of bounds on the 16th hole, tied for this. What an last hour of drama, but I'd never seen. I commented, and so Dustin Johnson just put the cherry on top of this. I'd never seen so many short putts missed by professional golfers as I did in this tournament.
Yeah, the pin placement, too, and how fast and how quick those greens were. It was tough to get a 15-footer to stay within 2 feet of the hole. I mean, they were going right on by, and then there was some tough pin placements. And, you know, sometimes your pin placement is more important than how the greens really are, you know, if they're slow or fast or whatever. But the pin placement, getting those things, sometimes you got a 4-footer and you go, oh, this is going to break 6 inches unless I put a lot of speed on it and take the break out of it. Well, then if you miss it, guess where that ball goes? A long ways by.
And we talked last week here on the show with Alex Myers of Golf Digest that new television coverage, there's been a lot of complaining. Been a lot of complaining about the whole weekend, but as we said, 5-under was the number that won it. There have been a handful of over pars, including Wingfoot when Mickelson knocked it off the tent and Jeff Ogilvie won 5-over, winning that one. So it couldn't have been the toughest in the world. Louis Oosthuizen, probably, nobody said he was the best golfer yet this week. He was the best golfer. Tiger Woods drug him down by playing in that group and shot 77 when Tiger shot 10 over and Fowler shot 11 over on Thursday. Oosthuizen was 10 under par the last 3 days. 11 under par. 11 under par the last 3 days. Think about that. Oosthuizen, you better watch out for him at the British Open as well.
Didn't he shoot a 29 on the back nine?
6 out of 7 of his last holes he birdied, and he just about canned it on 17. He had opportunities, but it was exciting, I guess, is what we can say. And another thing, it had just enough of everything. All the big boys were in there. Rory McIlroy made a heck of a run. He was 6 under, and it looked like he could get it to 8 under on the day, break the U.S. Open scoring record for a single day. He fell back. Snedeker made a charge. He fell back. Adam Scott made a charge, but it just wasn't enough, shooting 64 yesterday. A lot of big names, and then you had somebody like a Brendan Grace in there. You had the Smith kid that nobody's ever heard of that just about hit the double eagle on 18 yesterday. He finishes at 3 under. And again, you finish in the top 10 of a major, that opens up so many other doors to play more golf, get into other majors. And so that's cool that it did that for him. And then, of course, Jason Day in the Vertigo, it just didn't work out for him down the stretch. But he was a fun story to watch, too, and hopefully that doesn't destroy his career. We want to thank Phil Stanton from College Baseball Insider, Brian Munson from Rivals for joining us today. Jim Holton, Tri-City Storm coach, going to join us tomorrow as they're back from Vegas and tryout camp. And, Jimmy, you got baseball this week, so I'll see you Friday. Is that cool?
I think Friday's good for me.
Does that work? Maybe I'll work in some other days.
Yep, we'll see.
Whatever you want to do. Tomorrow? You going to come in tomorrow?
Yeah, I can come in tomorrow. We'll see.
You want to come in tomorrow?
Yeah.
See how we're negotiating on the air?
Yeah, we'll do it tomorrow.
All right, you're here tomorrow.
See it later.
Because I want to talk more to you.
All right, see you later.
All right, Jimmy will be back with us tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.